This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And we'll begin today with the push for criminal justice reform by more than 130 police chiefs, sheriffs, and attorneys from across the country, including two former Boston police commissioners.
The group, called Law Enforcement Leaders to Reduce Crime and Incarceration, met with President Obama today to call for alternatives to arrest and an end to mandatory minimums on prison sentences. They cite the fact that if the United States prison population were a state, it would be the 36th largest in the country. That's bigger than Delaware, Vermont, and Wyoming combined.
Their statement of principle says incarceration turns people's lives upside down, hurts the communities they belong to, and costs taxpayers an astonishing $80 billion per year, all while doing little to reduce crime. Joining us now is a member of that group, Donald Stern. He's a Boston attorney and the former U.S. attorney for the District of Massachusetts. And Mr. Stern, welcome back to the program. Good to have you.
Thank you, Anthony. Glad to be here.
So what action by President Obama is your group looking for?
Well, we're not looking just for action from the federal government. Actually, interestingly enough, some of the most innovative things are happening at the state and local level. So this, although the president was gracious enough to meet with the group, and by the way, I was not able to make the meeting. I'm not in Washington meeting with the president because I had a conflict that I couldn't change. But I am part of the founding member, which is 130 either current or former law enforcement leaders in all 50 states. And we're committed to try to help push what is a growing reform movement to reduce incarceration, keep the public safe, and make the community, the criminal justice system, a fairer and more efficient system.
So talk about those two goals, because reducing crime and reducing incarceration, there was a time when in this country when those two goals weren't considered compatible. How do those two goals fit together now?
Well, I think they are compatible, and one of the things that the law enforcement leaders, current and former, recognize is that no way we're going to incarcerate our way out of the crime problem. It requires an integrated approach, community policing, decriminalizing certain offenses, reducing the prison population, providing reentry programs. So it's not one particular step, but if we move on a variety of different fronts, we can reduce the prison population. You know, I think as you noted in the beginning, we spend $80 billion a year.
It's an astonishing figure. It really is.
You know, we have 5% of the world's population, but 25% of the incarcerated prisoners around the world are incarcerated in federal, local, and state prisons in the United States. And some of the innovation, frankly, has been driven simply by budgetary concerns, but it's not just Texas, for example, has gone very, very far in reducing its prison population, but at the same time keeping communities safe. You know, this group understands that at its core, the mission of law enforcement is to keep communities safe. So we would not be advocating these reforms, these changes, if we thought for one moment that it was going to increase the crime rate or make people less safe. We
sure
think it actually works to the contrary. We see what's happening around the country. We have to communicate with communities. We have to ensure that people who are getting out of prison, and most people do get out of prison at some point, that they have the services and the supervision which will keep people safe.
I want to ask you just about your perspective. You served as U.S. attorney in Massachusetts 1993 to 2001. Arguably, that was sort of when this tough-on-crime era was still in force, maybe beginning to come to an end, but President Clinton passed a pretty tough-on-crime bill. He was your boss then. What did you see from your vantage point that brought us to this point?
Well, I was very proud to be part of what at the time was called the Boston Miracle, which was an effort to reduce crime in the city of Boston. We went from, I think, 152 homicides at its peak to, I think, the low was 32 or 33. And it was not just, Anthony, a tough on crime, lock them up and throw away the key. There are some very, very bad people out there who have to be locked up, in some cases, for the rest of their natural lives to keep the rest of us safe. But what worked in Boston, and I think has been replicated to some extent around the country, is this carrot and stick approach. Yes, be tough, but be tough in a use a scalpel, not a sledgehammer. Be tough where you have to be tough, and provide the services and alternative dispositions and alternative remedies when that's appropriate. Many of the You know, we see these, unfortunately, with these some of these school shootings and some of these mass shootings where there are clearly mental health issues in play, and we see it in a whole variety of situations. So we need to strengthen our mental health system. We need to strengthen drug addiction services.
So that's a big part of it. I just want to ask you one more question. We only have about 30 seconds left. But Donald Stern, what makes this a particularly good moment to be advocating for this kind of reform?
There's an interesting coming together of the left and the right on some of these issues. You know, law enforcement leaders really don't like to get involved in politics. They really want to have practical, effective solutions. And I think what you're seeing is maybe for different motivations, the left and the right coming together for what we hope would be a smarter, more effective, but still very safe criminal justice system.
All right. Tough and smart on crime. That's Donald Stern, the former U.S. Attorney for the District of Massachusetts. Donald Stern, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Anthony. Glad to do it.